This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
My lost family member, so easy in our tongues. This person, I'll never see them in the masjid. Never see them guided. Who are we? Who are we on the face of this earth? Rather, Allah may misguide many of us. Make us become lost individuals on that day when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey with Surah Al-Baqarah, even though Surah Al-Baqarah has ended, we find the following Surah Al-Imran, the third chapter of Quran, is just a continuation. That's why there's certain surahs inside the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has twinned surahs together. Just like we find Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, which have been paired together and to use them appropriately in their recitation upon oneself. And likewise, we find Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran are twinned together in prophetic traditions, that we find that the person who memorizes these two surahs will be like a birds of with their feathers which are spread across, their wings are spread across, or like a shade which is covering, Ghamama man, covering over the individual on the day of judgment for the person who's memorized these two surahs. And if you look at these two surahs, you see the close proximity inside these two surahs of not just ahkam, rules and regulations, but spirituality. Whereby we finish in speaking about the final dua inside Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِنَّا سِينَا وَأَخْطَعْنَا. Don't take us to blame for things that we do. We forget to do them out of forgetfulness, or we sin, or we err, we make mistakes. And prior to that, we began by speaking about the first initial journey of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Firstly, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us. Then asking Allah, give us good, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, in this world. Then asking Allah to pour patience upon us, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا الصَّبْرَ, to grant us patience upon this path. And then to forgive us these zallat, these mistakes that we make. And in the beginning of Surah Al-Imran, begins with, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Oh Allah, don't deviate our hearts. Don't take us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ba'da idh hadaytana, after you've shown us the guidance. That's why deviations of two types. Deviation of doubts and desires. Ash-shubuhat wa shahawat. These are two things that destroy the Muslim ummah. Either doubts, khalal fil aqa'id, doubts regarding our belief, corruption inside our beliefs. And likewise, we find corruption in uprising of our desires and temptations. These are the two things that at the moment have always been attacking this Muslim ummah. That either they come to us via the concept of doubts inside our belief, taking us towards shrines and grave worship and relics and people and authorities, or taking us towards lust and desires and temptations. That's how they break this Muslim ummah. But some of us, we can't see beyond that scope. We only see half of the attacks upon this Muslim ummah. That either they say that the only attacks we're facing is shubuhat, is doubts about our belief. We don't see the other half, that those who may be rasikh, who know what their belief is, they'll begin to pump and infiltrate them. The concept of desires, temptations, free living, free life, lusts, desires to fulfill whatever you want to fulfill. There's no control. To just have a good life. These are also attacks upon this Muslim ummah that we can't seem to see them. We begin to belittle and think that this doesn't have an impact. So the Quran is always telling us about finding steadfastness to stay away from the path of deviation, the path of desires. And many times we've spoken about the path of desires, and sometimes we have to speak about deviation, about doubts in our belief. And if throughout this khutbah is going to be a clear disclaimer, because there's too many young people who think they know what Islam is, and they want to apply Islam upon other people. Very easy on people's tongues to say this person is a deviant, corrupt, lost, astray, misguided, jahil, ignorant individual.
easy on many people's tongues at the moment it is. That they think they have the right, they have a free pass. That to see that this person, there's this element of deviancy that I've read in a book, or I've seen this, or I've heard this, now I have the right to apply it upon someone. It's dangerous. Because it also shows that we don't understand the environment that we live in. These intricate subjects of studying of what is deviation, corruption, isn't for the masses of the general people. It's not for the awam, it's not for an average person to go around and to think what they've read inside a book. And to say that you have glimpses or traits of this, so I think now 1 + 1 = 2, you must be this deviant, corrupt person. That's what's taking place inside a society. This is also a form of corruption that we're facing inside our society. And the Prophet, he prophesied, we don't doubt that fact, he prophesied. He mentioned that the Jews split into 71 sects. Kullum fi nar illa wahida. All of them will go to the hellfire except for one. One Nasara, Hadith and Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi. The Christians split into 72 sects. All of them will go into the hellfire except for one. وَهَذِي الْأُمَّةِ سَتَفْتَرِقْ إِلَى 73 فِرَقْ. This ummah will split into 73 different groups. All of them, كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ, all of them will go to the hellfire except for one. But obviously many of us in our zeal, in our passion, we think we're the one. And we want to apply upon the rest that these must be the other 72 parties or groups of individuals deviated away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we come to these ayat speaking about deviation, corruption, as you mentioned inside Surah Ali Imran, the third chapter of the Quran, Al-Madid in Surah 200 verses, whereby 74 odd verses or so speak about Wafd Najran, about this tribe of the Christians. This helps us to understand the siyaq, the context that is primarily a rebuttal of the ta'wilat, the false interpretations of the Christians. Just like Al-Baqarah gives a refutation of Al-Yahud, and Ali Imran gives a refutation of the Christians. 286 verses of Baqarah, 200 verses of Surah Al Imran, 486 verses, and 4 or 5 odd juz in the beginning is building a platform of belief. And those people who deviated away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali Imran, the family of Imran, just like in Baqarah, speak about Musa or Suleiman, about Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq. Inside Ali Imran speaks about the family of Imran. Ulama Tafasi discuss who is the family of Imran. Is he actually a prophet himself? Or does it refer to his family members? Of Zakaria, of Yahya, of Maryam, of Isa, alayhi salam, peace be upon all of them. Or Yahya, these family members. So in a nutshell, as if these two surahs is discussing the whole of the prophets and the journey of all the prophets and what their belief is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah speaking about belief in the books that were sent down before. The Torah and the Injil, and the sending down of the Quran. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent down the book. مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ. There are verses inside this book which are clear verses, which are precise verses. هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. They are the foundation of the book. That everything returns back to these clear verses inside the Quran. وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. There's other verses which are elusive. They're not very clear. So ulama tafsir begin to discuss what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to. Because most of the Quran is muhkamat. Most of the Quran is crystal clear. But there's certain ayat inside the Quran, they need ta'wil. They need tafsir. They need interpretation. So Imam Qurtubi inside his tafsir, he mentions the ayat muhkamat are those ahkam, rules and regulations, which are crystal clear to understand. What is prayer? What is zakah? What is rules and regulations we need to carry out inside our life? Or mutashabihat, those which are not so clear, not so precise, are things to do with the last day. Or sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or about Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, Ad-Dajjal. Because we find that these things are what people begin to question about the authenticity, or they try to perceive that inside their mind, that how will these things take place in the last day? But we find that believing individuals, those individuals who believe in all of these ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبٍ زَيْغٌ. And those individuals, they have a zayg, yamil ila al-hawa. or anil haq. They have some corruption inside their hearts. You know, Cyprus, look at even the beginning, how the Quran it begins. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Why is the Quran always addressing the heart? You know, for us, it's just this external display of Islam that we're always focusing upon. Quran is deep. It goes into the inner depths of the human being. It begins by speaking about in their hearts is a disease. That's what the Quran, the dynamics of the Quran is speaking. لَا يُخَاطِبَ الْأَقُولِ. Quran doesn't speak, the intellect speaks the heart firstly. That's why later inside Surah Al-Ahzab when it speaks about women, how they're supposed to speak and conduct themselves. وَقُلْنَا, say a direct word. Perhaps that individual who may have what inside their hearts? There may be a marad. There may be a disease inside their heart. But this disease doesn't mean a disease of sickness, of corruption, we may think. But this disease in this context, as Surah Ahzab, it means the disease of desires. That you may arouse the desires of the man. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Say a direct word. Because if you say an inappropriate word, or you say in a lustful manner, or you change the tone of your voice, you beautify your voice, you allure your voice, then perhaps it may create a desire in the heart of the man. It's the qalb, it's the heart. Because the heart can be wavered in any direction. If it's presented with shahawat, with desires, it will wander towards desires. If it's presented towards devotion, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will go towards devotion. That's what ulama of lughah speak of. What is the qalb? What is the heart? Goes back to linguistics of yuqallibu shay, that something is turned over, flipped over, moved around. Tatakallab. Something that frequently is moving, flipped over. That's what the heart is. It keeps on flipping, keeps on moving. A day here, a day there. A day of belief as we enter the masjid, a day of sickness as we leave the masjid. That's a person needs to find the control of their heart. That's why living inside this environment, as we speak about deviation, corruption, if a young individual can control their desires living in this environment, that is a great success. That is a great success. That I've been with people who lived in Muslim lands all their life. And they're shocked. They're taken aback to see that a young person living in such an environment doesn't fornicate, doesn't drink, doesn't take drugs, is attached to the masjid, loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loves the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Yata'ajjaboon, they're marveled. They're startled at how in this bi'ah, how in this environment, surrounded by so much kufr and shirk and shahawat, how can a person rise to such a level? That's what you call belief. For them, their tests are different tests. It's an easy ride for them. It's an easy life for them. That's why you find that some of these individuals, the Prophet ﷺ prophesied, is going to be people that will have the reward of 50 companions. They'll never be equal to the companions because of living in that surrounding. We should be celebrating and praising that. Rather than nitpicking certain things amongst the youth and the people. That a person is staying away from those things. We should celebrate that inside our society. That we have such fine young men, such fine women inside our community who uphold their faith. We stay away from these desires and temptations and stay away from them. And as with certain individuals, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِ. There's some people have this inclination to follow these temptations of trying to make ta'wilat. That's why even fuqaha have spoken about this. Don't be surprised, even amongst mufassireen, ulama, they're right. That if a faqih, Islamic Jewish, has a prejudgment about something, and then tries to base a ruling upon that, that's incorrect. That's why some of the books of Tafasir, which are based upon whether it be fiqh al-Hanafi or al-Maliki or Shafi'i, they're predominantly in that school of thought, of that law. They base their books of Tafasir upon the prejudgment of what their school of law was. Some ulama make a critique of that. Because you've already got a prejudgment and you're trying to now use verses of the Quran to justify your view. That's exactly what we live in today. That many of us, we have a judgment in our mind. We have a view in our mind and we try to seek the Quran to justify that view. And to make it more clear, some of the ulama tafsir mentioned, which is more relevant, when Allah speaks about Isa alayhi salam, that he's Ruhullah wa kalimatuhu, he's the spirit of Allah, the speech of Allah, the word of Allah. Yes, there's a discussion about what does it mean. That's what these ayat are mutashabihat. They're not so clear in their meaning. But look at the precise meaning of other verses inside the Quran. In huwa illa abdun an'amna alayhi. Clear verse inside the Quran. That he is only but a servant that we bestowed a blessing upon him. These are clear cut verses. That Isa can't be juz min Allah, a part of Allah, from Allah in that sense. Or one segment of God is split into three parts of Trinity. And Isa is part of God. Allah is saying clearly, he's just a servant that was bestowed. Inna mathala Isa ka mathali Adam. Khalaqahu min turab thumma qala lahu kun fayakun. In the beginning of Surah Al-Imran. What is the parable of Isa and Adam alayhi salam? What's the symbolic gesture of both these individuals? Allah just said to them, be. And created both of these individuals. These are clear verses inside the Quran. So people who seek corruption try to make ta'wil of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet has been warned about these individuals. That those individuals, فَإِذَا رَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. Those who try to seek these ayat, make these ta'wilat of these ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأُولَيْكَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّ اللَّهُ فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. These are the ones that Allah has warned about these people. Stay away from these individuals who make ta'wil of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we began with, unfortunately we have to mention certain deviations. That's why Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he mentioned that these people, going back to hadith that Musnad Ahmad, who are these people who make these ta'wil of the ayat of Allah? Primarily it's al-Khawarij. Primarily it's the Khawarij who made these ta'wil. That's why he has a long discussion. Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, who are the Khawarij? What is the beginning of these individuals? In the battle of Hunayn, right at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when the wealth came back and the money was there, the booty was there. And this individual, Dhul Khwaisara, he said to the Prophet, I'dil. He said to the Prophet, be just. Be fair in sharing this money, this booty out. This angered the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That how dare a person say to a Prophet to be just. There's no more fairer person on the face of this earth that ever will be than the Prophet alayhi salam. That's why he rebuked him and warned that from his loins there will come these individuals. يقرعون القرآن لا تتجاوز. It will not go beyond their throats. ويخرجون من الدين. They go out the deen just like the arrow goes through the game. Goes through the animal, just whizzes through the animal. That's how they get to go out the deen. And they're going to put your prayers to shame. They have marks on their faces. They'll have tul al-qiyam wa-salah, excessive praying and fasting and zuhud and abstinence. That's the symbol of these people. Warned by the Prophet Ali ibn Abi Talib in the battle of Ma'arikatul Nahrawan in modern day Baghdad that we find in the year 38 Hijri. 2 years before the assassination of Ali ibn Abi Talib upon the hands of these Khawarij who killed him later on. He fought against them. Because they also believe that he wasn't judging by the Quran. That's why today that you find when people are making the same claim. It's a lack of fiqh fi deen, understanding the application of the Quran. And then from there Ibn Kathir mentions that Al-Jabariyya wal-Qadariyya, all these sects, all these movements spill from Al-Khawarij. And as I began with a disclaimer, let's not jump and be hasty to apply upon people. It's a problem that we're facing. That we're reading these readings and we try to hasten to rush to apply this upon people. This person has an element of this, so he must be like this inside their life. And even you study those ahadith, you speak about the 73 sects, some of the ulama have even weakened these ahadith. Some of them question the authenticity. Even Sheikh Al-Albani goes to write a whole risala of making a study of these ahadith, whereby it mentions other numerous wordings. Ma'ana alayhi wa ashabi. Who are these people? Who are these people who are going to be successful individuals? Ma'ana alayhi wa ashabi. Whatever today I follow and my companions follow. Other narration, al-jama'a. The congregation. That's what it is, the congregation of Muslims, the body of Muslims. To follow that thought, that pattern of creed and belief is a path of success. As for the tawa'if that we find a person follows another madhab, they don't fall into this hadith. Let's be crystal clear. If a person, أقول لكم صراحة, يكون حنفيا أو شافعيا أو حنبليا أو مالكيا, person is humble inside their fiqh or shafi inside their fiqh, he doesn't fall into this hadith of 73 sects. Let that be crystal clear. Anyone who has that belief, that person who follows a madhab, has gone outside of these sects, fails to understand what this hadith is referring to. He's applying this hadith outside of this context. Because the masses of madhahib have been classified as people of Ahlul Sunnah. They've been classified as Ahlul Sunnah. Even they follow a madhab. When akhta'u fi madhabihim, even they go wrong inside their madhab, they made a mistake, they're still classified in the general sense as people have not left and entered into those other sects who've left the fold of Islam or become total corrupt individuals. Because this is a problem we're facing in our society today that needs to be addressed. Half-baked individuals, half-taught individuals, or even claim that they've studied so many books. It's not about studying books. It's not about studying books. It's about understanding these books, understanding the applications. Like Ibn Abbas, when he speaks about this verse, who are these people? وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Who are people rasikh fil ilm? Who are people who understand tafsir of the Quran? He said there's four types of people who make tafsir of the Quran. The average person who just listens to the Quran and can understand it. It's simple. Certain verse, many verses inside the Quran. وَأَقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Simple person to understand. وَأَهَلُ الْعَرَبِ. People who speak the Arabic language. They can decipher so many things of the Quran. Don't think they're far away from the Quran, because that's their language. Thirdly, he mentions that there's going to be rasikhuna fi ilm al-ulama. There's going to be scholars who understand meaning and interpretation of certain verses. And there's a fourth type of tafsir. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي عِلْمِ. Do you know that tafsir? And his tafsir is only known by illallah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the tafsir of certain verses. But Allah bestowed people like Ibn Abbas, Al-Bahr, Wal-Habr, the scholar and the ocean is Ummah. The Prophet alayhi salatu salam prayed for him. Said, Allahumma faqih fi deen wa alimu ta'wil. Give him fiqh fi deen, give him the understanding of the deen. He didn't say make him memorize mass amount of portion of matun and texts. He said, give him fiqh fi deen. Give him the ability to understand deen. وَعَلِّمْهُ التَّأْوِيلِ. Give him the ability to make tafsir the Qur'an. Ibn Abbas, he narrates himself. He went one day to one of the house of the Ansar, a hadith that he hadn't heard. He went to double check that hadith. He stood outside the door, took his mantle, placed it upon him. The dust, the sand came all over him. Just sat there waiting there. When Ansar, he comes out, he says that, O cousin of the Prophet, what are you doing outside here? What are you doing sitting outside my door? I would come to you. I would come to you. He says, "La, you travel to knowledge. Knowledge is sought. Knowledge is sought. You travel to knowledge." Just took the hadith and walked away. That was Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. Umul Khattab, a young person, age of 12 or so, that we find when the Prophet passed away. Or maybe younger than that. Umul Khattab will bring him to the majlis. Another companion, we could use his words linguistically and loosely, would scoff at Ibn Abbas. What's this young boy doing sitting here amongst us? We have young boys at home. We can bring them, make him sit here. But Umar al-Khattab is a deep person, deep mind, deep foresightedness. That's why they were Khulafa al-Rashidun. That's why I read about Khulafa. Why were they Khulafa? I don't want to sound any rude to any individual. They weren't dumb people. They were very smart, intellectually well-equipped individuals. And that's why he selected Ibn Abbas to be there. So he asked the people around him, what do you make the tafsir of this surah of the Quran? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Big companion said it means the victory of Allah. Conquering of Islam. Islam will expand, will rule, will govern. This will happen. We're going to be powerful. كُلُّ هَذَا خير. All of this is good, but that's not the deeper meaning of these ayat. Tell them, Ya Ibn Abbas, what's the deeper meaning? He said the deeper meaning of these ayat is the demise, is the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That's the deeper meaning. That's it, the journey is finished. When a victory of Allah comes, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. Make tasbih of Allah, make istighfar. It's the end of your journey. Ibn Abbas understood this. Umar al-Khattab understood this. Abu Bakr Siddiq understood so many isharat of the Prophet ﷺ. He's come to the end of the journey. And everything that comes to the end is going to collapse. That's why after this fitna that people speak about, it's there. Right from the beginning, Uthman. When they assassinated Uthman, assassinated Ali. From there that you find slaying and killing of the companions. So don't find that it's something new today to kill other Muslims, that some of these people that they will do. It spills from that same belief. That they believe that these people, we don't uphold the Quran. We're not upholding the Quran, or we're giving into the Quran. That's some form of weakness. So these ta'wil of the Quran that we find, فَإِنَ أَوَّلَ بِدْعَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ, as Ibn Kathir, he mentions them regarding these individuals who strayed away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. There's a ulama tafasir mentioned, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ. Rasikh is shay thabit fil ard. Rasikh means when you build a building, you make it firm in the ground. So Allah is giving this tashbih. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Those who are firm in their knowledge. Not just a few books. Because, you know, I want to address it because there's a big sickness in our community. And I've seen the trends. 6 months, 1 year ago, 2 years, 3 years ago. And then have the audacity to turn flip all 360 degrees over and make ta'an wa la'an wa shatam ala nas. To curse and to revile other people. Young people as well, young Muslims as well. They feel they've discovered their faith. They feel they're enlightened. They feel that, you know, you don't know what the Islamic creed is. I've discovered the Islamic creed. I've discovered it. You don't know what the Islamic creed is. You're corrupt. You're deviant inside your belief. Because of X, Y, Z. On what basis? Tell me one authority, one bona fide scholar who's given you the right, given me the right, at the age of, let's say, even 30 or 40, given them the right to categorically say, this person has the right to apply the Sharia and then codify that this one individual is a corrupt, deviant individual. One bona fide scholar who's given one person in this country the authority. One person, just bring me, who's given the authority that they've become a judge in all of the Sharia, all the aspects, all of its usul, wal furu', wal dawabit, wal shurut, all of it, to even a basic level, understands it, as now has been given the permission to now go and to attribute this upon people. It's a fallacy. It's a myth that people are playing on the minds of people to create that inside society. For what purpose? For what purpose? For what purpose are we doing that? To create dissension inside society, corruption inside society, deviate more and more people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet, look at his deep wisdom. When he went to foreign lands, what did he tell Mu'adh ibn Jabal to call the people to? What did he tell Ali ibn Abi Talib to call the people to? What did he tell them? Call them to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's such a simple belief. It's a simple, easy belief. You don't need to say, but this, but this, but this, but this. This is all theology, theocracy, dogma, aqa'id, belief. They're studied at a higher level. At such a high level, certain individuals that study this, that they may give certain rulings and verdicts, not to open up to the masses of the people, to create this inside the society that we're finding, this current day and age that we find. يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّ بِهِ. The people believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say we believe in all of this. Muhkamat, those ayat which are clear. Wa mutashabihat. We don't question the Quran. That's why you find certain hadith. Don't throw the Quran one verse over another verse of the Quran. That the Quran says one verse, believe inside it. Maybe you've misunderstood the verse. Or you don't know what the tafsir of that verse is. For example, Allah says inside the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la taqrabu as-salata wa antum sukara hatta ta'lamu ma taqulun. Or you believe, don't come to the prayer while in a state of drunkenness. And you don't know what you're saying. So a person could read that verse and think it's okay to drink intoxicants. So once I become sober, then I can read my salah. So the person shouldn't just think every single verse that the person can read it, understand. There are verses that need interpretation and understanding, that people need to help people. كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. All this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The muhkam and mutashabih. As Allah mentioned, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا. There's no discrepancy in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why these Orientalists, they try to come and pick certain verses of the Quran and say, look, Allah says this in this verse, Allah says that. Don't engage with these people. If you don't know your own belief, if you're not rasikh fil ilm, everyone wants to debate the atheists, everyone wants to debate the Christians, everyone wants to debate the Jews, everyone wants to debate this person, everyone wants to debate that person, everyone wants to do this on the YouTube, everyone wants to give a refutation to this, everyone wants to give a response to this, and then they make these false videos. I need to make a response. What urge do you have to make the response? Who are you? Who are you that you think you have the urge that I'm the one that's defending Islam? I have to make this response. I have to do a response video. And then the body language is clear. The response is clear. The language is clear. You're ridiculing. You're making a joke. You're making a mockery. And then you try to call this a scholarly refutation of somebody else. That's not how ulama behave. Ulama don't speak about personalities. They speak about belief and where they've deviated and highlight them. Even when they meet people who have corrupted, they still love and affection. Because why? They're still Muslims. Because if not, we would so much of our turath, so much of our heritage, we would have to burn it. And I don't want to list a long list of ulama and the works that they've written. Modern day, or every average Muslim ulama, that every person knows with the tip of their tongue, that they've had some discrepancies inside their belief, or never swayed fully to the belief of Ahlul Sunnah. Are we not supposed to remove all of their works? Are we supposed to now not quote them inside our lives? Of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left behind of their works to benefit the people? It's something that we need to ponder and to reflect upon our lives. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes those verses by speaking that only those individuals who have the mind and intellect able to pick up and decipher these verses and understand these verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then comes the dua of these people. So the reason why I mentioned, look at the siyaq, the context, speaking about ulama, speaking about people, believer, later on even Allah mentions about the same type of individual, shahid Allah annahu la ilaha illa hu, wal malaikatu wal ilmi qa'iman bil qisti, la ilaha illa hu al aziz al hakim. Allah testifies that none has the right to be worshipped except for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ulul ilmi, and men of understanding, knowledge, people, knowledge. Wal malaika, and angels. These are the individuals who testify to oneness of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the dua of these people. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. That's the context of these ayat. Obviously, we can understand the general context for us as an average Muslim. But that's a specific context. That these ulama, these believers, they're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not deviate our hearts after you've guided us. And prior to all of this, is whom? Is the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. There's Ibn Kathir, and this all the different riwayat, a different narration speak about the most excessive dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. One of the most excessive duas, oh my Lord, keep me steadfast upon your deen. Imagine, that's the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. He's making an excessive supplication. Don't leave me for the blinking of an eye. Don't leave me to my own premise. We all know the Prophet is protected. Wallahu ya'asumuka minan nas. Allah will protect you. Before he was even born, you read works of seerah, protected in the womb of his mother. So many mu'jizat. Read Imam Bayhaqi's Dala'il al-Nubuwa in 8 volumes, printed in 4 volumes. Mu'jizat given to the Prophet before he even came upon this earth. That's how precious he was, alayhi salatu salam. Wa wajadaka dhalan fahada. Found you misguided, away from the path we guided you. That's the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, always protected inside his life. But yet he's making this excessive dua. That do not deviate me away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the hadith, it mentions that the heart of every single servant is between the two fingers of Ar-Rahman. And he alternates it how he wants. So all of our hearts are in the two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why one should never become full of themselves. This is another sickness in our society that we find. We become so full of ourselves. You know, that's why those people, that's why you sometimes you feel so much happiness. That sometimes you meet the person You think in your life that this is the last person who ever become Muslim. And you meet them many years later. And it gives you such a cool feeling inside your heart. That, yeah, Allah, my judgment was wrong. Who am I? That in our small mind, that we think that this will be the last person to ever step foot in a masjid. This is the last person to ever be guided. This is the last person to ever pray. This is the last family member of mine to come to the masjid. This is my lost son, my lost father, my lost daughter, my lost family member. So easy in our tongues. This person, I'll never see them in the masjid. Never see them guided. Who are we? Who are we on the face of this earth? Rather, Allah may misguide many of us. Make us become lost individuals on that day when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lost. Lost in our own sins. Our own corruption. Our own words. Our own mistakes. Lost. And these poor people with their few sins. Because you know those zulumat, those sins when a person has them upon their own self. It's only themselves. It's only themselves. It's only their own sin they have to answer for. But the sins that we have to answer for about other people, that becomes zulumat, focal zulumat on the day of judgment. And that's hard to bear. That's hard to bear. The person has to now respond for every single thing I said about somebody else. Out of context, out of wrong word. That's why an average person is far better than many of us. Far better than many of us. Simpleton, simple people. Simple people who know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We're the ones that come and mesmerize them and say your beliefs are corrupt, you're wrong, you don't know what the right belief is. They were a simple person before. They used to raise their hands and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and forgiveness. And pardon their parents and their loved ones. Now they don't even do that because they think their parents are corrupt. They think their loved ones are corrupt. They think the people around them are corrupt. So they don't even make dua for them anymore. See the deviation? Talbis, Iblis, deception of the devil takes us away. Makes us fail to understand. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We didn't send you except for mercy to the worlds. So a person should not become full of themselves inside this life. Ask Allah, لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا Don't deviate our hearts away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٍ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This mercy, blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it guides us. We should be so happy that every day we wake up, that I'm a Muslim. When I go to sleep, I'm a Muslim. That I die and I submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the ultimate blessings that we can celebrate upon our lives. And then Allah concludes this ayat, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ And Allah will bring people to accountability. On the day of judgment, Allah responds that. Allah will bring that on the day of judgment. That's from the lesson of this ayat that we need to understand inside our lives, that we're so bogged down. We're so bogged down with other people. And think that we've got the solution to every single thing. Or the solution lies with me. Or I have the one solution that will cure everything. We're so bogged with that. We lose concept of spirituality of Islam. What is the spirituality of Islam? What is the path of Islam? What is the path of these supplications? And calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned, these half-baked students inside our society that we find. Doesn't matter how many books they read. They haven't read so many things they haven't read. Ibn Taymiyyah used to say, كُلُّ مَا زِدْتُ عِلْمًا زِدْتُ جَهْلًا The more I increase my knowledge, the more I increase my ignorance. Read Ibn Taymiyyah's رَفُّ الْمَلَامِ عَنْ عِمَّةِ الْأَعْلَامِ Read his works of raising the blame from the scholars who may have deviated away from the path. He makes excuses for them. Read Shawl al-Dahlawi's Al-Insaf. Speaking about the ikhtilaf, ulama may have differed or may have deviated away from the path. But because we read only set textbooks that are presented to us, so we only have a set mind inside our lives. We can't see the wider picture of what's being taught to us, what's being delivered to us, or abstract issues. Abstract issues about sects that existed before deviated. We're not saying they don't exist. They have existed. But you don't find them in a pure form today. These are academic studies that are not to be exposed to an average Muslim to go around and be taught these subjects to them. And likewise, we find as we began with affecting this Muslim Ummah Shubuhat wa Shahwat, these doubts and these desires that we find. And Ibn Kathiri mentions how this tafsir concludes. This author, he mentions that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was once leading Salatul Maghrib. And he completed the first two raka'ah of the prayer in the simple format of some easy surahs. And a person narrates, we mentioned, I came close to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. I was very close to him, close to his garment. Remember, this is the third raka'ah of Maghrib. And after Fatiha, I heard him reciting, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدِ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. This is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in the third raka'ah of Maghrib, you can just read Fatiha and that's it. But he's reading another verse, asking Allah, don't deviate my path. Take me away from the path. And that's what our worry should be. That don't deviate us away from the path. Don't deviate us to the path of corruption, of doubts, and nor the path of desires. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to practice, implement these ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside our lives.